In and Out of the Kitchen by Damien Trench. August the 26th to the 27th. Some think that summer is approaching the first time they hear the reedy tones of a nervous cuckoo or glimpse supermarket promotional offers centering around pre-marinated meats for use on the dreaded barbecue. For me, it's the unmistakable thud of an envelope containing a stiff card hitting the doormat that signals the wedding season will soon be upon us. One arrived this morning, in fact, although not an unexpected one. We had been awaiting its arrival for a few days, ever since Anthony had received a communication from an old school friend. Anthony has been reacquainted with a number of contemporaries from his alma mater since signing up to a social networking site. I myself cannot bear the idea of being part of such a thing, yet I can understand why it makes sense for someone in Anthony's position, that of a currently unemployed man seeking work in the financial sector, and on the verge, I hope, of starting his own investment consultancy service.
I'm just very pleased to have been asked. It's touching.
Now, Anthony.
It's just very nice to be remembered. I mean, it's a long time since we were in regular contact. He must have met heaps of people since we left school, yet he chose me. Presumably he still values our friendship.
It's possible that's the reason, or...
Or what, David? Why else would you ask someone to be your best man? What, because they could secure you reasonable rates for venue hire, or because they're the best man for the job?
There are all sorts of reasons, Anthony, if you look beyond the surface.
I've got an idea, Damien. Why don't you stop looking for sinister goings-on under the surface and enjoy the realities above the water? Somebody has asked me, out of all their friends, to be their best man. That is a massive compliment. You know, it's a big gig, Damien. It's a serious responsibility.
Probably the biggest responsibility you have at the moment, other than finding a job or finally starting your own business.
Oh, yes, all right, Captain Killjoy. I am happy, sharing my happiness.
Drink.
Oh, we want to celebrate now, do you? What, 9:20?
No, the kettle just boiled, Anthony. All I'm offering is a hot beverage. And the benefit of my wisdom, if you'd care to benefit from it.
What a preposterously pompous thing to say, Damien. Really, it is like living with a Maggie Smith character at times.
I am nothing like a Maggie Smith character, thank you. What an equally preposterous proclamation.
Well, I don't have time to listen to your odd remarks. I have responsibilities and a speech to prepare that will do an old friend proud.
Of course.
And I shall do it justice.
Yes, I'm sure. I'll just make a pot.
He's chosen well, actually. I mean, I've got no shortage of experience. When I was at the bank, I made all sorts of presentations to all sorts of... very important people all over the world.
Switzerland.
Indeed, my presentation skills have been remarked upon several times, both here and on the continent. So, I'm sure that holding the attention of an assortment of aged relatives in a tent for 15 minutes should be an absolute doddle.
Well, I hope so. Have you seen the strainer, the green one?
Who's that? No.
Oh, I'll have to use the one from Milan.
I left Anthony sitting at the kitchen table in front of a piece of paper that was blank, other than for the words speech, aims and objectives. Now, I have never met Julian, and before all this, had never even heard of him. But, and I'm sure this will sound harsh, I already hate him with a passion. I do not admire people who think that they can get by in life merely by using the odd bit of flattery and can then sit calmly back while other people clear up the mess for them. Now, I have no idea whether Julian is a man of faith or not. I suspect not, just a whim. But this is, of course, a church wedding. I think that people without faith who choose to marry in church are hypocrites of the highest order. So often the sort of people who suddenly announce that they're going to have a church wedding are exactly the same sort of people whom you've previously heard banging on about their opposition to organised religion. And what an horrific phrase that is, too. Totally, totally meaningless, and appropriated by intellectual, godless posers. Oh, I've worked myself into quite a lather, haven't I? I'm going to jot down a few ideas for a recipe that's heavy on lentils and spices, but still manages to keep just the right side of fun. And then I shall go down to see Anthony and get a few things off my chest. Recipe.
Spiced lentils a la fenugreek.
You will need a little under 9 ounces of pui lentils or any other lentil you have on hand. 2 to 3 red chilies, fresh, seeded and chopped finely. 7 or 8 tomatoes, sun-dried, if you've time. 1 large onion, finely chopped, or 4 shallots, your call. 1 teaspoon of cumin, 1 teaspoon of fennel seeds, 1 clove of garlic, crushed. 1 thumb-sized piece of ginger, grated, not crushed. 1 teaspoon of garam masala, more if you're minded. 1/2 teaspoon of ground coriander. 1/2 teaspoon of smoked paprika. 1 pint of your own vegetable stock. Fresh coriander for garnish, and 1 teaspoon of, crucial this, ground fenugreek. Rinse your lentils, then heat the oil in something heavy-bottomed, over medium. When nicely hot, toss in your fennel seeds and cumin, and the moment they pop, add the onion and stir to soften. Add the garlic, ginger and chilies and stir for another minute. Then add the spices and stir for a minute further. Pour the stock in and add the lentils. Bring to a boil, then lid on, drop the heat to a simmer for a little over half an hour, by which time most of the water should be absorbed and the lentils tender. Add more water if you're nervous. Your tomatoes now need to be mixed with the fenugreek and honey, so that when the lentils are tender, the tomato mix can be stirred in. Simmer for a few minutes more, the odd stir, bang! Serve hot, as you would, and garnish with the fresh coriander. Tremendous.
Italian, it is really quite hard to get my thoughts down on paper while you're huffing and puffing about church and state.
Oh, right, I didn't realise you'd actually started.
Well, I haven't started the actual hello there, my name's Anthony business. I'm just getting on with the groundwork. You know, who is the speech for? What is it about? What message am I selling?
Sounds like it's going to be an absolute riot.
Is this anger absolutely necessary?
I'm just so fed up with these ludicrous phrases. Organised religion.
The only person I've heard using that phrase today is you.
Organised religion. I mean, all movements and philosophies are by necessity organised.
Lovely stuff, Damien. I mean, really, you should be making the speech. A riff on this theme would just fascinate people. It'd be like a Beatles concert. I mean, the only problem is that some of your more nuanced remarks might be drowned out by the sound of your fans screaming.
What a cynic you are sometimes.
Me?
Yes, you.
Well, what are you, then?
I am a textbook realist, Anthony.
Are you, indeed? A realist who wants the phrase organised religion to be banned by law?
I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. Certain phrases attract the ire of a very broad demographic.
Oh, here we go, Pankhurst.
Seriously, you give me a number, I will give you an easily bannable phrase containing that number of words.
What, is this some sort of Darren Brown thing? Am I going to wake up thinking I've killed someone?
I wouldn't rule out the possibility, actually, given your temperamental nature and clumsiness.
All right, that is... Right, all right, all right. One.
What?
Give me a one-word phrase that deserves to be banned.
Eatery.
Two.
Carb-free.
Three.
Low-fat snack.
No, you sure that's not hyphenated?
Fat snack.
No, idiot. Four.
Dogs must be carried.
That's a perfectly legitimate safety notice.
And when did you last see a dog on an escalator?
Wednesday, and somebody should have been carrying it.
Right.
Six.
The British comedy of the year.
I'll give you that one.
1 week later, Anthony and I loaded up the Uno with our overnight bags, our suits, morning dress for Anthony, something summery for me, I cannot stand formal wear, and a picnic to have en route, and we set off for Cheshire. I can't recall ever having been to Cheshire before, although something tells me I may have visited Beeston Castle as a child, or someone I knew did anyway, I seem to recall its name being on a pencil. Anthony is a conscientious driver, if a speedy one, and we always have a slight disagreement about the M6 toll road. I think we should take it, Anthony thinks it should never have been built. Occasionally we have to leave a main road to go into a town, as we will not use a service station, but generally it's a good run, considering it's a Thursday. For much of the journey, we discuss clouds.
Look at that one. Like,
Yes.
It's like a fez. Ooh, now that one is a bit like a trilby.
Oh, for goodness, is this what you call navigating? Do you imagine this is what the co-driver does in a rally car, sits in the passenger seat, tenuously associating headwear with weather patterns?
Don't see why not.
Phone. Phone.
Hello? Hello?
The green button.
Yeah, all right. Oh, no, they've hung up.
Yeah, or you've answered it.
Damien? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, Damo! How are you?
Oh, very well, Ian. Very well indeed. Just came past Norton Kane's service area.
Sounds delightful.
How are you?
Head above water, Damien. Head above water. Can't complain on the work front, though. Busy as a chalet girl.
Busy as a...
Could you hold on, please, Damien?
Yes?
Jesse, my love, is that you on your way out? Can you please remember the flowers? That's right, and the other items we discussed. D-cup, possibly, about yay big. No, do they? Well, what about vouchers? Oh, no, all right, if you think so. I'll have a rummage tonight and hopefully come up with something definite for tomorrow, if you've time, obviously. Oh, yeah, just a soup or something. Yeah, nice soup. Whatever they've got, unless it has potato base, that just sits on me. Yeah, that sounds lovely. Super. See you. Ciao. Sorry about that, Damo.
No problem.
I just had to ask someone about the printer cartridge.
I could hear you, Ian.
Oh, right. Well, bras, eh?
Bras indeed.
Yes. Anyway, are you at your desk?
No, as I intimated shortly before your lovely address to Josephine, I think it was, I'm not far past Norton Kane's service area.
Norton Kane's, that's M6 toll road, isn't it?
That's right, the M6 toll road.
Total waste of £6.50.
It's not a waste, look, there's no one else on it.
Yeah, it's a road chef one, isn't it? I normally hold on until Stafford if I can. They've got an M&S Sibley food there, get a bag of cashews or something. Where are you going?
Cheshire.
Huh? What are they for?
Wedding, friend of Anthony's, named Julian Crawford.
Julian Crawford? How on earth does Anthony know that? Beast. I wouldn't imagine them being Pally?
They were at school together.
Amazed he's decided to settle down. Amazed!
Right, bit of a free spirit, is he?
Free spirit? The man's an absolute animal. There was a fortnight in Tuscany I heard about when he never slept in the same bed twice. And there was only five of them on the trip.
Right. Anthony's his best man.
Is he? Oh, my word! Well, he'll have a lot to draw on. A lot! Put Anthony on if he wants any more stories.
What's he say?
Nothing. Ian, can I bring you back?
Let's speak Monday. Can't wait to hear how it goes. Julian Crawford! That old reprobate.
Well, I should have known that Ian would know Julian. Ian seems to know everything about everyone, apart from me, that is. After 7 years as his client, he still firmly believes that I'm interested in golf and skiing, and nothing I can say will convince him otherwise. What he had to say about Julian confirms my very worst suspicions, and it pains me to think that Anthony is being unwittingly used to mask the man's history. If there are skeletons in Julian's cupboard, then Anthony will not know about them, and thus he won't even be able to give the merest hint of them in his best man's speech. He has been carefully plucked from obscurity like a young Diana Spencer was, precisely for this purpose. The bride's family have a very long gravel drive. I think it's a pleasing look myself, but Anthony muttered about what it was doing to the Uno's paintwork. As we pulled up outside the house, an incredibly brittle-looking doll came out to greet us, who turned out to be the bride herself. Following her was a man with a rugby-playing build, or what I assumed to be one, with his collar turned up.
Anthony!
Julian, how nice to see you.
Come here, you bloody champion! Thanks for doing the gig, mate. Really bloody great of you. God, look at you. You haven't changed a bit, have you?
Well, yeah, possibly a little,
Hey, big guy, don't let it worry you. We'll put on a few. And this wonderful girl whose family live in this wonderful house is Francesca.
Hello, Anthony. I've heard so much about you.
Oh, have you? Well, that's very nice to hear. I've heard so much about you.
That's right.
He's always talking about you or emailing.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that, Julian.
Yeah, sometimes he sends texts.
Ah, this must be a lovely... Oh, hello.
Hello there.
Who's this?
This is my...
You're Damien Trench.
Yes, I am.
I'm Fran, and a fan, a huge fan of yours.
Oh, well.
I love what you do with asparagus. It's totally changed the way I think about it, hasn't it, Julian?
Yes, it has. A total game-changer. So, you two are...
Yeah, we are.
How wonderful. Oh, gosh, I hope the catering will meet your requirements. I might have to hide the fact you're here from my mother. She'll probably go into a total meltdown. Julian, you could have warned me.
Yeah, your father might be a bit surprised about these two being...
Julian.
You've been lucky with the marquee. It's
Thank you.
Great.
Could you unlock the car, please?
Sorry, yes, David.
Thank you.
Well... An extraordinary reception from such an old, dear friend. At every turn, my cynicism is rewarded. And I mean to say, collar up.
Oh, right then, where do they fourth floor?
Did you suppose this is the sort of house that has a lift?
Might be the sort of house that has a lift for luggage, Anthony.
Yes, all right.
Anthony? It is Anthony McIlvenny.
Lionel?
Lionel.
How the very devil himself are you?
Lionel Carver, the Lion of North Sea House.
You look fantastic. I mean, different, obviously, but immediately recognisable, nevertheless. It's your gait. I could spot it a mile off.
Hello, I'm Damien Trench, Anthony's partner. I'm assuming the two of you were at school together.
Indeed we were. Haven't seen each other since. And how long have you two been together?
7 or 8 years, I think.
It's nine.
Nine? Marvellous, of course. I know your work, Damien. I'm a great admirer. Well, who isn't? No one I'd have ever for dinner, anyway. Have you had anything to eat here yet? I've heard rumblings about tea on the lawn, but not actually seen any evidence.
Yes, I wouldn't mind something to eat.
Actually, we've just shared the most enormous picnic.
Yeah, but that was lunchtime, and now it's nearly... Well, it's 2:45, so...
I didn't have a proper lunch. Got a bag of cashews at Stafford Services, but still... Anyway, enough of my problems. What are you doing here?
I am the best man.
Really?
Yes, I should be giving a speech, rather looking forward to it, actually.
Well, I'm sure it'll be wonderful. I mean, you always were a very entertaining sort of a chap.
Oh, God, well, that's very...
How about you, Lionel? Are you involved in this happy occasion?
Indeed I am, Damon. Yes, I'm deeply honoured to be officiating at tomorrow's ceremony.
Oh, right, what is it? Some sort of humanist thing?
It's not a humanist thing, no. I'm a priest now, Anthony.
You're not.
I am, yes. I have a church in Hyde in Greater Manchester.
Greater Manchester?
Sounds marvellous.
I can't believe it. All the people.
Keeps me off the streets.
Oh, I bet you're simply fabulous.
Well, I'm lucky enough to have a very committed congregation. There's not enough of them, of course, but they are passionate and we're getting along.
Fancy you choosing to become a priest. I mean, you could have been anything you chose to.
Well, it's not really me who does the choosing, Anthony. It's, you know, him.
What?
I understand.
I love your goat to Jean, by the way.
You are kind.
Goodness, he must be a fan. The goat to Jean doesn't actually appear in any of my own books. It may well deserve a wider audience, so for what it's worth, here it is. For this recipe, you will need 1.5 pounds of goat shoulder, cubed, an onion, chopped finely, 2 cloves of garlic, crushed, tomatoes, can of, cinnamon, stick of, a handful of dried apricots, chopped roughly, 1 pint of any meat stock, flat leaf parsley. You also need a range of spices, 1 teaspoon of cumin, ground, 1 teaspoon of coriander, ground, 1 teaspoon of ginger, ground, 1.5 teaspoons of paprika, smoked, 1/2 teaspoon of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of turmeric, as is, a little harissa, but beware its kick, zest and juice of 1/2 lemon. Blend all the spices together in a large bowl, and then toss the meat in them until it's nicely covered. Then heat the oil in your tagine of choice and cook the onion in it until it's almost see-through, at which point add the meat and garlic to the tagine so that it might brown. Then add the saffron, the cinnamon, the apricots and the tomatoes and pour over your stock. Let it come to the boil and then immediately lower the heat. All you need is a slow simmer. Then crack open a box set, can I recommend Middlemarch, and let it cook for as long as you can bear, really. 9 hours, 4, but no less than 2. And don't be afraid to give it the odd stir. It will benefit. Then stir in the flat-leaf parsley, lemon zest, juice, honey, and as much harissa as you feel safe with. Ah, the souk, the sights, the smells. I like the idea of Marrakesh, but honestly, it sounds shattering. We were given a room in the eaves of the house, which an estate agent would have declared as being appointed to a very high standard. I found it to be a little too yellow, and I don't think I could find a single item within the whole room, and by God I searched, that hadn't somehow been accessorised with a tassel. The bed is huge, though, and extremely comfortable. And so after a light kitchen supper, over which I was introduced to probably 20 people whose names I'm already struggling to recall, I headed there for an early night to curl up with Love in a Cold Climate, a copy of which I'd found on the landing, spine totally uncreased. June the 21st, Saturday.
What a beautiful day.
Oh, Christ, my eyes.
Haven't they been lucky with the weather?
Ah, Damien, you have to.
Sorry, Anthony, I didn't know you were awake.
Well, you're the cause of my being awake. Were you in the sun.
You look well.
Ah.
When did you come to bed?
After 12.
No, I think it was later than that.
Oh, right, well, it was before 2.
Not sure that it was.
Yes, it was 4:30. I stayed up with Julian Lionel drinking whiskey till 4:30. Oh, now it's 9:15. The wedding's at 2. Oh, I've got to give a speech in 4:45. Oh, it's only 8 hours away. I've only got... Oh, no. All right, OK. And, have we got any water in it?
There's a jug on the dressing
table. Oh, great. Ooh.
Please use a glass, Anthony. Fine, just carry on. As if you're a bear.
Oh, I feel terrible.
Should have used a glass.
Have we got a loo?
There's one at the end of the corridor.
Right. No, I can't. Just go back to bed.
Oh, fine. What am I meant to do? Go down to breakfast on my own to interact with that ghastly Julian.
He's not ghastly.
Julian is ghastly.
No, he's my friend.
I hadn't heard of him a month ago.
You're very loud sometimes.
And you are easily taken in.
Yeah, well, I've got to go to the bathroom. I've got to go. Where is it?
It's on the left, 3 doors down.
Right, thank you.
Back of the door?
What?
A dressing gown?
Oh, yeah, I'm...
Yes?
No, there's no time.
I did go down to breakfast alone, but there was no one else about. The bride's parents must have breakfasted earlier, and presumably Julian and all his loutish chums hadn't yet got up. If I had a house like this, there would be kedgeree at weekends. They don't do kedgeree, but if they did, they ought to do it like this. You merely need 1 pound of rice, basmati, haddock smoked, something like 1 pound and 2 ounces, 4.5 ounces of butter, a lovely green chilli which you have deprived of its seeds and then cut into thin slices, an onion, biggish and finely sliced, a pair of peeled, halved, hard-boiled eggs. Do you like curry powder? You'll need at least a tablespoon. Couple of cardamom pods from the usual source, crushed. About half a lemon cut into neat wedges. A small handful of chives, or half a handful, if you've got large hands, chopped. You should give the rice a bit of a rinse and then saucepan up, put it on a medium heat with a pint or so of water. Let it come to the boil, give it a quick stir, and then pop a lid on and turn the heat down to almost nothing. A little under half an hour should be enough. The fish needs to be cooked in boiling water in a shallow pan, skin facing heavenwards, for 9 minutes. Then allow it to cool, skin it, and crumble it by hand into flakes. Fry the onion in butter until soft, then add the curry powder, cardamom and chilli, and let them cook for a couple of minutes before adding the rice, which needs to be given a good stir so that it becomes coated in the butter and spices. Then add your fish and start to warm it through again. Season the rice prior to adding your eggs and sprinkling the whole lot with chives. Try to squeeze the lemon over the kedgeree as close as possible to its coming in contact with your mouth. Cannot fail. I returned to the room to find Anthony still sleeping. I sat down ever so gently on the edge of the bed, only for him to jump up and ask me what on earth I thought I was doing making such a racket. I told him that I was making almost no noise whatsoever, but that if he would like me to make some, then I most certainly would. I told him that I disliked the house, the happy couple, and the sneak peek I'd taken at the menu. I wished him good luck with his speech. He groaned, and then I'm afraid I stormed off. Out of the room, the house, down the drive, and out into the village, which I then walked right through, and after a gentle climb, was able to sit amid splendid scenery with Olivia Manning's Balkan trilogy to cheer myself up. I've tried to support Anthony, but really, what more can I do?
Anthony, there you are.
Julian, hello. I was beginning to wonder if I was going to bump into anyone today.
Yeah, pretty sleepy village, isn't it? Strictly entre-nous isn't my sort of place at all. She likes it here, her family like it here, and they are, not to put too fine a point on it, not doing too badly. So I do what I'm told, for now.
Indeed.
Hangover?
Bit of a one.
Ditto. Got the rings?
Yes. All good, got everything. All well, Damien's gone AWOL.
Well, not him as well.
Well, who else is missing?
Lionel.
Oh, what?
No one's seen him anywhere.
I know.
Well, shouldn't worry too much. We've got 3/4 of an hour still.
Yeah, maybe he's doing some sort of preparatory ritual.
Yeah, exactly. Probably getting into the zone. I don't know what these sort of guys do, really.
No, me neither.
I passed, in the end, a pleasant enough morning. But by 1:30, I was famished, and so sauntered back into the village to seek sustenance. I looked briefly at the menu outside the pub on the main stretch, but as soon as I spotted the word goujon, I walked away as quickly as I could, soon finding a simpler-looking establishment a little more out of the way.
Afternoon.
Afternoon, sir. Could I have another one of these, please?
Lionel?
Yeah, 2 burrs, is it, sir?
Oh, hello, Damien.
Hello. Could I have one of those?
2 burrs, yes, sir.
Shouldn't you be, about to take a wedding?
This is just a nightmare. Where the hell's the idiot got to? I thought Vickers was supposed to be reliable.
Julian, is everything all right?
Yes, everything's fine.
It's just that it's getting on a bit, time-wise.
We're not totally sure where the vicar is.
Oh.
I'm sure there's nothing to worry about. He's probably locked himself in his car or something.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. I knew we couldn't expect the day to pass without some sort of drama. I'd better ring her father. They'll be wanting to set off soon.
Locked himself in his car?
I didn't know what to say.
I mean, Damien, and I'm asking you this man to man.
Right.
Do you think that Julian and Fran are a good couple?
Well, I'm not. I mean, didn't you do their preparation class?
Oh, another one of these, please.
Oh, and for me?
I didn't, no. I asked if they'd had them, and they assured me that sort of thing had been taken care of, but now I'm not so sure.
Oh, I see.
Because I just think, well, they're awful.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not... I don't know what to say.
Are you a believer, Damien?
I'd like to be a believer.
Oh, everybody says that. Oh, what am I doing?
In Cheshire?
With my life!
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry to burden you like this.
It's fine.
I just don't know if it's the right thing to be doing.
Drinking in the afternoon?
No, being a vicar.
Oh, I
have such responsibilities. Oh, it's nice to be able to share them, but I'd feel terrible stopping a wedding by myself. But I'm sure if I told people that I'd only called it off after having a serious discussion about it with someone as sensible and considerate as yourself, you know, I said to people that I was having doubts and Damien Trench agreed with me...
Do you have to bring me into it? Couldn't you say you'd had a discussion with God or someone?
Oh, no, no, no. I think you'd be much more credible.
Look, I haven't been completely honest. Belief can be a tricky thing to talk about, can't it?
Certainly can.
But I do believe.
You do?
Yes.
In God?
I believe in God, I believe in you, and I believe that Julian and Fran are a match made in heaven, which I also believe in.
And you take organised religion seriously, honestly? Because, I mean, if someone like you doesn't, then I'd know I was in the wrong game.
Well...
And I'd give it up immediately.
I take organised religion very seriously.
You do?
Absolutely.
Well...
As a phrase and as a concept.
Well, you can understand why I had doubts.
Oh, I can see why you might want to have had a bit of a think.
Oh, thank you, Damien, thank you. Well, let's have a glass of something stronger, shall we?
Oh, hadn't you better go? It's nearly 5 past.
Oh, my God!
Well, for a man who just had a crisis of confidence, Lionel was surprisingly fleet of foot and set off at quite a lick. It was as much as I could do to keep up with him, and the church can't have been less than 4 miles away. I was worried I'd have to accompany him the whole way, lest he veer off his path, both real and spiritual, once again. Luckily, I was able to flag down a passing taxi that was on its way back from a nearby air show, and we arrived with comparatively more ease and considerably less sweat.
Lionel!
Damien!
Hell have you been?
Is the bride here yet?
They'll be here in 3.5 minutes.
I'll be ready.
Where the hell was Lionel? How'd you find him?
He'd locked himself in his car.
And what a ceremony it was. Liturgy, laughter, lacrimal glands liberally flowing. And Lionel, I have to say, is a pro. His confident and calm exterior showed no hint of his inner turbulence. All the poems and the readings were the same as ever, and the drinks, and the reception. And then, the speeches. And then... Are you sure you want to leave now?
Yes, I want to leave right now.
Starving. Have you not had anything to drink yet, have you?
No, I haven't. I was too nervous about my speech, and rightly so.
Really? I thought it was,
It was a disaster. It was, wasn't it?
Well...
Honestly?
It was a disaster.
We should never have come, and they are a terrible couple.
Well...
Aren't they?
They are.
In and Out of the Kitchen starred Miles Jupp and Justin Edwards, with Philip Fox, Sarah Tom, Rupert Van Sittart and Leslie Vicarage. The producer was Sam Michelle.